Hi, everyone. This is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome to our second season of Medtronic Talks. In our first season, we spoke with the leaders of Medtronic's operating units to better understand the direction of each of the businesses. Now, with their courses set and clear, we're going to talk to the engineers, scientists, physicians, and other experts who are executing on these strategies. We'll still keep a tight focus on each of Medtronic's businesses, but we are going to get a lot deeper into these stories. Let's go. Hi, everybody. This is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome back to the Medtronic Talks podcast. It's great to bring you these stories from Medtronic, and today's is a good one. I had the great opportunity to speak with Q Dallara. She's Executive Vice President and President of the Diabetes Business at Medtronic. Q Dallara brings a really unique perspective and background to Medtronic and to Medtronic Diabetes. She transitioned from the software and tech industries, and we'll get into that in a little bit. She was previously with Honeywell, but her skill sets really presented an opportunity for Medtronic Diabetes. Medtronic Diabetes have been working through some things of late, and we'll report on their good news in this podcast, including the FDA approval of the MiniMed 780G system, which is basically simplifies diabetes management with automatic adjustments for insulin dosing and carbohydrate counting. It has a meal detection quality that Q Dallara will talk about. And it sounds like great news for people with diabetes. But before we begin, I'd like to bring in our sponsor, GlobalMed MDI. I had the chance to speak with Greg Tobin. Greg is CEO of GlobalMed MDI. Greg, thanks for joining us. Tell us about GlobalMed MDI.
Yeah, thank you. So GlobalMed MDI is a provider of outsourced manufacturing services. In November of last year, Molded Devices, or MDI, acquired GlobalMed, an innovator and manufacturer of extruded products. This acquisition further expanded our extrusion capabilities and added to our existing molding capabilities. You know, as I think about the company, I like to describe GlobalMed MDI as a company that partners with our life science customers to build and deliver highly engineered products in the areas of molding, extrusion, coatings, and assembly. Essentially, we help develop and manufacture components, subassemblies, and devices for our customers. We have 16 production locations around the world, including China, Mexico, and North America. And in terms of our priorities, our number one priority is quality. On a daily basis, we focus on quality, on-time delivery, and meeting the commitments that we have made to our customers. I can proudly say that we are a trusted partner to many of the top life science companies around the world. And a result of this growth, we're rebranding the company to better portray our global footprint of manufacturing facilities, our capabilities, our engineering expertise, and the culture of the new integrated company.
All right. Thanks, Greg Tobin, for bringing us up to date on what GlobalMed MDI is up to. If you'd like to find out more about GlobalMed MDI, go to its website, molddedevices.com. That's molddedevices.com. And we'll hear more from Greg Tobin a little later in the podcast. Well, Q Dallara, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's an exciting time for Medtronic's diabetes business. You've had a lot of good news over the last month or so. It's been kind of crazy. So definitely want to delve into that.
That's how we roll, Tom.
All at once, huh? Boom, here. But no, I'm sure spirits are high there. But love to find out a little more about your background and how you found your way to Medtronic and to MedTech. Your path is an unusual one. We can start at any point. You were previously at Honeywell before joining Medtronic, but you were at TE Connectivity before that. So how closely have you worked with the medical device industry in the past, and what sort of brought you in that direction?
Well, I would say I've worked in life sciences toward the latter part of my career, but I would describe sort of my journey is half in tech. I grew up in the software space and, you know, technology in general, and then the other half in companies that made things. So from digital to physical. And in my role at Honeywell, I was chief commercial officer there. So I was responsible for all things growth, from strategy to product innovation, sales and marketing. And then more recently, I ran the software business there. And as part of that, one of my businesses was in digital quality management systems. So I spent a lot of time with life sciences, so pharma, CROs, as well as medical devices. So that's sort of a bit of my experience. But how I got to Medtronic is, on the surface, it seems like it's very different, but actually the problems are very similar. And so if you take a controls problem, like how do you regulate the environment, the temperature in a building, or a warehouse automation system, or how a refinery works, they're all control systems. So you've got inputs and you've got outputs and you're trying to optimize. And so diabetes is very similar. All the closed loop algorithms are essentially control systems, a control problem where you're taking sensor glucose, you're trying to optimize insulin dosing, and that's all in a closed loop system. So very similar concepts apply in the diabetes world. And of course, who doesn't want to get out of bed every day to have a big impact on people? And so that's kind of how I, in a random walk, got to Medtronic.
How did you come to know about the position, or how did they come to know? I imagine someone reached out to you. Was the fit immediate when you heard about it, or were you a bit surprised to being considered for a position like this one?
I've always been following diabetes. You know, more than two decades ago, I was involved with a friend who was starting up a business in BGM back in the day that was quite innovative. And so it always been something that I was aware of. I also have, friends and family that live with the disease. And so it's not, it was not an unusual thing. Things happen. Jeff Martha, the CEO of Medtronic, found me. And so I thought, I could really apply the skill sets that I've really assembled. I mean, my experience at TE Connectivity is all around sensor development, different domains, but you pick up different technologies. And of course, a lot of innovation that's happening in medtech comes from digital. And a lot of what we're doing to drive a faster pace in innovation comes from the world of software. And so I thought those components with, the good that Medtronic does, it was actually a good relationship. And that's how I kind of ended up here. So while it looks very unusual, I think part of being non-traditional does help. Because if I look at Medtronic, there's a lot of people who know medtech. We have plenty of people who have experience there. But in terms of where the puck's going with digital, with innovation, with algorithmic development, I think those are skill sets that I bring to the table.
No, that's great. I thought it was an inspired choice when I heard you brought aboard, and I know I wanted to talk to you back then. So I definitely do see the fit. I'm just curious. I always love to focus on those moments. Was there a moment when you were staring at the fork in the road and you were trying to decide to go to Medtronic or not? And was there a factor that tipped you one way or the other? I imagine it was the ability to serve, as you noted before. But was there anything specific that made you say, I'm going in that direction, I'm going to take the job at Medtronic?
Well, I think it's two things. It's always about fit. And so if I just maybe comment on the market, you want to work on something where you think the world's going to head in. And I always felt that automatic insulin delivery systems was the way to go. And what was exciting about Medtronic is Medtronic has the sensor, the algorithms, as well as the dosing, modality device. Mm-hmm. It had all of that. And so I thought the potential of what you could do was really spectacular. And I really wanted to be part of that. And then you look at your skill set and you say, can I really contribute in a differentiated way where the business is heading? And so when those things come together, then it makes a lot of sense. And that was the epiphany of how I ended up here.
That's great. No, it's a great choice. Well, let's zoom out a bit and just talk about Medtronic's diabetes portfolio. What falls under your umbrella? We'll talk about MiniMed in a bit, but more broadly, what else are you offering?
Well, as you know, we have a sensor portfolio. We have algorithmic development in the closed loop systems. We also have smart insulin pens within pen. And then we have our pump systems. And then, of course, we wrap it all together in a digital experience that will become more and more seamless over time, as well as the support, the technical support and customer care that we have. So I like to say to the team that the product is the business. It isn't the devices themselves, but at the end of the day, the customer's experience, all of it together. And we've got to make sure from, soup to nuts, those components work together. So that's what's in the portfolio.
That's great. So when you came aboard, or just after you came aboard, let's talk about the warning letter that came up. I believe it was just after you joined, or I'm trying to remember the timing exactly.
It was about 6 months ish before the company got the warning letter in December 2021, and I joined in May 2022.
Oh, okay,
about
that's
six
right.
Months.
Wow,
fairly early in to the warning letter.
If you could talk a bit about the process that went into working with the FDA in resolving that, and maybe speak to, is this where your background sort of applied to sort of helping improve systems and helping to sort of get things aligned so you can develop these sorts of products the way they need to be developed?
Well, I think that in this question around the warning letter, I think feedback is a gift. And so we very much appreciate the engagement with the FDA in helping companies, including ourselves, get into a better state of compliance. And so I think there's a lot of alignment with the regulator. We all want to ensure patient safety. That's what the FDA wants as well. We want to address systematic issues that the FDA, you know, is vigilant around and identifies. And so that the process of engagement with the FDA has been actually really excellent, because we have the same goal. And I think it's orientating the organization that we have the same goal. And, you know, for us, it isn't about simply responding to an agency like the FDA around things that they observe, but it's also that we want to raise the bar in safety and quality for patients, period. And so that's really the process, Tom. It's, you know, we want to get to, you know, there's obviously things we've got to improve. Every company has that. We want to continue to raise the bar every day. So I always say, if you get 1% better every day, you're going to be 30 times better by the end of the year. And so this idea of continuous improvement in the area of patient safety, as well as our quality systems, is where we have absolute alignment with the agency. And that's what we've worked towards. And if anything, my prior experience is really just bringing focus and rigor in this regard. You know, a lot of people are very surprised that, you know, we resolved, you know, all the concerns that the agency had, and all of the regulatory restrictions, you know, have been resolved and lifted. And it's been done in a very, you know, good engagement and collaborative way with the agency. So people are very surprised at how fast it's happened, but it's a ton of work and it's a ton of, you know, really partnership with the FDA.
Are we going to take a quick break from this conversation to bring back our sponsor, Global Med MDI? Once again, I'm speaking with Greg Tobin. He is CEO of Global Med MDI. Greg, tell us how Global Med MDI works with medical device companies.
Yeah, thank you. So we provide a range of specialized engineering and manufacturing services that include various types of molding. We offer injection molding, blow molding, and dip molding. We also provide various types of extrusion. We provide assembly services, and we have our coatings business. Our coatings business includes the design and development of automation and production equipment. When I think about how we work with our customers, I would say that we have an entrepreneurial, get it done mindset and a passion for solving complex challenges. This is really inherent in our DNA and our culture. We have an impressive suite of capabilities that we've built over the past 7 decades. And I'll share a couple of examples with you. So our Global Med business, we are extrusion experts. We develop corrugated tubing used in respiratory, anesthesia, and smoke evacuation applications. Within molded devices, we have the expertise to mold most anything. It can be injection molded, blow molded, or dip molded. And this expertise is really driven and supported by all of our talented engineers. And, you know, throughout our company, we provide front-end design for manufacturing services. And I can say that our customers score us very high in our ability to support their upfront design and development needs. You know, engineering is the heartbeat of our company. In rugby, you've heard of the hospital pass. It's a pass that is made to a teammate running downfield without providing any support. And the play typically doesn't end well for the receiver. And so in designing a new product, our customers can depend on us and our stage gate processes to provide the appropriate support so that the design process does end well and as planned. We dedicate project engineers to a program from the start, and they stay with the program all the way through production. And so this ensures that their success is realized. We want our customers to think of us as the partner who can solve their complex challenges.
Greg, Global MDI clearly has a lot of services to offer. Can you highlight a few for us?
I would like to highlight four areas of specialization: coatings, precision gears, drivetrains, and actuators. So I mentioned coatings previously, and that's one area where we specialize. It includes the chemistry development, process development, automation development, and ongoing production. And of course, you know, the coatings can be integrated with molding and or extrusion services. As you know, coatings are a real growth area, and one application is in the development of drug delivery devices. I'll share with you one example of where we're working. So with a drug delivery device, the injection process should be as smooth as possible. And so we're coating various components such as gears and plungers to reduce the friction and deliver a really smooth experience. Other areas of specialty include precision gears, drivetrains, and actuators. All of these are critical components that are used in infusion pumps, insulin pumps, auto injectors, robotic surgical applications, and in other areas. Our customers can focus on the overall clinical efficacy of their device and really rely on us to manage the inner workings of the subassembly. We behave as an extension of our customer's organization and deliver quality products on time. For the past 70 years, we've been delivering gears and drivetrains with the quality and performance that our life science customers need and expect. Our mission is to provide exceptional value to our customers to ensure their success. Together, we can do more.
Well, that's great. Once again, thank you to Global MDI for sponsoring this episode of the Medtronic Talks podcast. If you'd like more information about Global MDI, go to its website, molddevices.com. molded devices.com. Are you able to provide any sort of specifics on what actually had changed? Is it the way things were physically done at the plant? Was new equipment brought in? What was required to get past this?
Honestly, it's not like there's a secret sauce. It's really just doing what we said. And yeah, it's stretching for what we think are excellent standards in quality and safety, and making sure that we can break down, you know, that lofty goal into tactics and making sure the organization does what it says. And, you know, we continue to build on that foundation. So it's really continuous improvement. There isn't sort of, you know, magic pixie dust or some, you know, special thing. I mean, I had come from experience in, you know, the aerospace regulatory environment, and it's very similar in a lot of other industries. I don't think there's any sort of magic wand that you have. It's really just hard work. It's being consistent. And it's really aiming for more. It's always aiming for more every single time, because we're not satisfied with how we did things 10 years ago or 5 years ago or last year. We want things to always get better. And honestly, it's not in one area. We've got to do that across the board. And I think the agency recognized the significant improvement that we have made since they were in here last in 2021. So we're pleased with that. And we're pleased that, you know, we've got a very strong foundation in, you know, patient safety and quality.
And you sort of answered my question, but I was curious, is there a comparable force in the other industries where you've worked to the FDA? We always in medtech kind of hold it up as this thing that's unique to us, this obviously regulating power that has great control over the industry. How did that feel to you? Were any familiar components to it? Was it something completely different? How did you connect with the relationship with the FDA?
I think there are similarities. I would say there are also some differences, but there are similarities. And I think it's trying to make sure that what we do in our strategies align with what's important to the agency, because they have a very important role to play in the industry in creating very, very high standards. And we appreciate that, because it means that patients and physicians and the community can be assured that only the safest and most effective products are on the market. So that's a very important role. And so trying to find where we have alignment there is important. You know, we want to be harder on ourselves, honestly, than the agency is going to be on us. That's really our philosophy. And if we do that and we always have the patient in mind, then I think we're going to work on the right things. And when we lose sight of that, that's when, you know, you get into trouble, and we don't want to ever be in that situation. So, you know, that's what we're trying to instill, not just in diabetes, but in Medtronic in general, that we have to have the highest standards, more than what any other regulator would ever give us.
Let's focus on your other good news. You recently received the news that the FDA approved your MiniMed 780G system. Tell us a bit about the system, and we can talk about sort of the work you did with the FDA and where we're headed, what your plans are for the system after. But introduce us to the 780G system.
Sure. Well, we're thrilled to have the MiniMed 780G system approved in the US. As you know, it's been approved in 99 other countries. So now we're at a nice even 100. For the last few years, it's been approved outside the US. And so we have a lot of data. There's a lot of data of how the system has performed in other markets. But what's so exciting is, number one, US patients have access now, have more choice. And that's what we care about. We want to be able to introduce new innovation into the market. But what's special about this system is it's meal detection technology, which really provides automatic adjustments and corrections every 5 minutes in both basal as well as undercounted carbs and missed meal boluses. And it's really the only system of its kind in the market. And I think it goes a long way to simplifying diabetes management. It's got the lowest target setting at 100 milligrams per deciliter, and it can do this safely. So when paired with the recommended settings of an active insulin time of 2 hours, we've seen actually a better time in range from users through our real-world data. And what I love about this system is the feedback we're getting from customers. And a number of them, because we're out in the market now for a number of years, a lot of people, you know, use words like it's a game changer and it's just changed their life in how it's brought simplification and automation to diabetes management. In recent times, a lot of the conversation has been around no finger sticks, and that's important, and around CGM use. And I totally agree, that's really helped. But that's not the only thing that 780G system does. We have no finger sticks while in SmartGuard technology, which people are in 95% of the time. But we also offer a 7-day sensor, an up to 7-day sensor with a 7-day infusion set. So that means you're doing one set changes a week. So from incorporating a weekly routine, you've got a simplification there. And then you add on top of that meal detection technology, you're really bringing automation to the next level. And that's where even the most, I use the word compliant in sort of the traditional sense, but even the most people who are diligent and are in control see a benefit. And those who are not as in control as they would like, they see a benefit. So in every cohort, you can be young or old or good with technology or not good with technology, 780G system, we see an improvement in our real-world data. And that's what's so thrilling about finally having approved in the US.
So you've had this experience globally with patients who have been using it. How does it affect their day-to-day lives? I think it was something like someone managing their diabetes has to make upwards of 200 to 300 decisions per day. Medtronic at the time had the campaign where you're bouncing the balloon up and down to represent all the thought that goes into focusing this sort of condition. What does the 780G do to that? Does it take a lot of that off the table because it has the meal detection system? Does it take a bit of it off the table? What's the day-to-day impact on someone with diabetes?
A big part of diabetes management is around meal management. We actually had a nice celebration. We had pretend champagne. It was apple juice. And so the employees that have type 1, for example, said, I'd love to drink this, but I didn't bolus. And so they couldn't really partake in that activity. And so around meal management, you've got carb counting, which most people get wrong. Even the most experienced, they get it wrong. And they've got to think in advance. And what the 780G does is provide some forgiveness around, you know, getting the carbs wrong or occasionally missing a bolus. We always recommend that you need to, you know, bolus. That helps you get into the best control. But where you do have some of these, you know, life interrupts and life happens, meal management helps correct for those, you know, errors. And that's what makes, and so we're introducing automation in a way that around meal management, it simplifies your life and you can do more of the things you want to do instead of trying to forecast when you might have a sip of apple juice, for example, at a celebration. And that's why I think people say it's a game changer for them.
Absolutely. So you have this experience. You mentioned the other 99 companies. You're now going to be marketing in the US. What lessons are you drawing from that experience you've already had to releases in the US? And what are the plans in the US? What's the availability now? What's the rollout look like? Where are we with all of that?
Well, maybe to answer your second question first, keeping us in our turn. That's good. We started pre-orders last week. So Monday the 15th, we had pre-orders, and I'm just thrilled at the interest and the demand that we're getting so far. We actually start shipping on June 1. From approval to when we're actually starting to ship is really, around 5 or 6 weeks. So we're really proud of, getting all the operational pieces together to make that happen. We know people have been waiting a long time, and we wanted to really compress as much as possible the time to get the product in the hands of users. So that's what's happening right now. And we're obviously spending a lot of time now with physicians and clinics to help them understand, what is milk detection technology? How does it work? How is it differentiated? So we're going through a bit of that process. And we're doing a bunch of webinars with physicians as well as patient webinars to sort of educate and inform on how the technology works. But I think there are a lot of lessons from launching in other markets. I think one of the biggest ones is actually helping patients let go and trust that the system is going to work for them. That's been our experience, where historically, because other pumps in the system, including ours, that we've released in the past, require you to do a lot of, setting changes. And so, in some ways, that's been imprinted on physicians and patients on how to work. We're actually saying, let the automation take over. And that's where you get the best outcomes.
Interesting.
And so it's working through a little bit of unlearning what you've learned before and really pushing automation and simplification. And so that's been one lesson. And we have a lot of data, Tom, on the safety measures we have around the system. So people, it's the lowest, target, the treated target of 100 milligrams per deciliter. And, we get a lot of questions like, are we going to get more hypos? Well, our data says no. You don't see more hypos. And so that allows people to have tighter control over their diabetes.
What has that learning curve been like for folks? That's a great point. I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, we talk more broadly as a culture about autonomous cars, about giving control of machines over this and that. And then it hadn't occurred to me that it could be just as drastic as being in a self-driving car. You're handing your control of your life over to a machine. How long does it take for people more broadly to get comfortable? I'm sure there's some fast adopters who are there, take it from me. I'm sure, as you said, there's others who need convincing. What is that process like?
I think it really varies. I mean, it depends on the individual. And so I'll probably share with you some anecdotes, but I've spoken to a number of patients who are the ones that were the most vigilant and diligent and invested a lot of time in being precise with carb counting. And so I asked them, so how's it been? Like, because they're in control. They're used to being in control. Some say it's, takes them a few days. Some say it's a couple of weeks to really let go. But once they do, and they see how the automation works and how much better their outcomes get in terms of time in range and A1C, they really appreciate how milk detection technology works. So everyone is going to have their own individual journey. We're here to, hold their hand and support them through that process. For others who let go, they go hands off, they get there too. So what I also love about it is, sometimes we have, patients that, maybe less comfortable with technology, and they find, the whole pump, system, the CGM, the algorithm, the pump itself, that whole system be very complex and the technology be quite intimidating. But actually, you don't have to do anything. You just have to let the system drive the automation. You handle the set change, you put in the carbs that you think you're taking. That's it. That's about it. And the rest of the system takes over. And so what I love about it is it's really democratizing. You don't have to be a tech early adopter. You just can be anybody. Because we really believe at Medtronic Diabetes that automatic insulin delivery systems should be something that everyone should have access to. Because we believe it drives the best outcomes.
That's great. Where does meal detection technology fit in? Are there other systems out there with this capability, or is yours the only one? And is this a meal detection technology? Is this a term you have exclusive to Medtronic, or is it used more broadly?
Well, I would say that we are the first and only system on the market, automatic insulin delivery system on the market that has meal detection technology, because we're predicting what's going to happen to, looking at a number of factors, what's going to happen to your sugar levels, and then correcting it every 5 minutes. And if you look, I mean, look, you can read, you know, other companies' IFUs or instructions for use documentation. And so while some, you know, others do dynamic adjustments for basal, they don't do all corrections for missed boluses or undercounted carbs. Only we do. We have a competitor that claims to do corrections, but they only do once every hour and only 60% of the amount, the recommended amount. Because we're able to adjust safely every 5 minutes, we're actually behaving, you know, like a functioning pancreas.
Interesting.
Because typically if you make a mistake, like let's say you miscounted your carbs or you forgot to bolus, and then you remember to do it later, and then you're trying to figure out how much to bolus, that can lead to insulin stacking, where if you bolus and it's not enough and you don't see your sugar levels coming down, you then bolus again, and then you can lead to a, you know, hypoglycemic event. Whereas because we're looking at, you know, what's in your system and the rate of change every 5 minutes, we're giving these micro adjustments and corrections, just like a pancreas would. That means that patients on our system, you know, spend less time in the hyper range and more time in range than, you know, we believe other competitive systems. So that's how it works. It's really a novel approach in the market, and we're the only ones that have it.
That's great. A couple more questions. I've said this before in other podcasts, but the diabetes community, I think, is one of the most engaged patient communities out there. What has your experience been like plugging into this community? I'm guessing you have a much closer relationship with your actual customers, your users, than you've had in other industries, and I think other medical device sectors have. What's that experience been like for you?
It's agony and ecstasy. No, feedback is a gift. It's really wonderful because, you know, for large companies, sometimes you can lose sight of why you get out of bed every day. And for us, we don't. We have more than 70% of our employees has a personal connection to diabetes. I think we have something like one out of every five employees has diabetes. And so it's always very important to be connected, because if we don't deliver value to our customers, then we don't get to exist. And so the distance between what our customers think and what we work on hopefully is a very narrow distance, because we should be working on things that matter to our customers. So that part is really wonderful. The other part that's wonderful after you get past the, you know, the criticism is customers are very vocal. We like that. We want the feedback. And so we know when we're not doing, you know, the right thing by them, and that allows us to also make corrections. And so we really appreciate that the community is active. They're very vocal. They're not bashful about, you know, saying what they think. And we really like that, because it means that we have a much faster feedback loop inside the company so that we change. And we know people are waiting for 780, for example. And so we've done everything we can to compress that time between approval and when we can actually ship product. Because typically it's not 6 weeks from approval to shipping products, Tom. It's a lot longer. So we love our customers. We try and stay close to them. And then the third part I would say is, you know, they're also a source of innovation. You know, they're pushing us to innovate faster. So I think we're just better because we're so close to what the community thinks and, you know, speaks out about.
Thank you. We're saving the latest news for last. Medtronic announced the week before this podcast came out that you acquired EO Flow Company LTD, a Korean company, maker of the EO patch. Can you tell us a little bit about the acquisition and the technology you're going to be bringing in?
Yes, well, we're thrilled to be combining EOFlow's device platform with the latest and greatest from Medtronic. Obviously, our meal detection technology algorithm with our next generation sensor Instinct, we'll be combining that with EOFlow's patch device and bring that to market as soon as we can. As you know, Tom, we have a strategy to meet patients where they are. And what that means is whether they want a smart pen, they want a tethered pump, or they want a patch pump, we are integrating that in our next generation sensor with our digital experience and, of course, our world-class customer support. We're letting patients choose what it is that they want. And so our patch is clearly a very important part of our portfolio to really complete that offering.
That's great. And the patch is designed to deliver insulin with high accuracy and reliability. So where does it fit it'll be used in conjunction with the MiniMed 780G?
No, it will be its own separate AID automated insulin delivery system. It's just that if a customer prefers to have, not to have a catheter or a tube, they want a tubeless disposable option.
Okay.
If that's the lifestyle that they want, then we want to be able to offer that to them. But as you know, our strategy is very much not to provide a CGM or to provide a pump. We want to deliver the benefits of automation through automated insulin delivery. And that means a system of CGM dosing system, whether that's a smart pen, a tethered pump or a patch pump, with our algorithm and then all wrapped in our digital experience. That's what we're offering, that full system. And what EarFlow has today is they have a dumb pump or a patch, but it doesn't have automation by way of an algorithm. And so that's really the work that we're going to be working with them on once we close the transaction. And I believe with our latest and greatest algorithmic developments, it will be a very compelling offering in the market.
And that's the meal detection technology that we talked about earlier?
Meal detection technology as well as our next generation sensor Instinct.
Great. And finally, when do you anticipate the deal will close?
Later this year. We've got to go through all the usual regulatory hoops, but very excited. What's great about EarFlow is, it's taken them a long time. It's taken them 12 years to develop this technology. Because you've got to make a very accurate pump at below cost, because ultimately you're throwing away a device every three days. Mm-hmm. And so they've demonstrated manufacturability, and we've demonstrated with our sensor technology and our meal detection technology how our algorithm works. And so we're really excited by the combination of all those pieces.
Great. And just final question, but what's next? What's next for Medtronic Diabetes? What are you focusing on and looking forward to bring in the community in the future?
Well, fortunately, there's a lot more innovation and a lot more underserved problems in the diabetes management area, generally speaking. And so we're going to be pushing the limits of, simplification. So there's a lot more we can do around algorithmic development, around how automatic insulin delivery systems work as a system. We're pushing the envelope around the digital experience, and we're also pushing more out of CGM. And so, one of the nice things about having all of those products under one house is I think we can drive a much more seamless customer experience, kind of like what Apple does, because they're vertically integrated in a lot of areas. You can really optimize an experience in a way that's a lot harder to do when you've got to work with two or three other companies. It's one phone number to call. It's one software system that integrates all the pieces. And so in the future, if you want to, if you want to have a break from a pump and you want to use an insulin pen, we want to be able to make data portable so that you can go do that and go in and out of different, dosing environments. So there's a lot more we can do, Tom. I wish I could tell you everything about our roadmap, but we're investing a lot in really just reducing burden and driving outcomes. Those are the two things that we get right. There's a lot more innovation coming out of Medtronic Diabetes in the years to come. So got to watch this space. There's a lot more that we have up our sleeve.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to talking with you again and following that story, but thank you for joining us on the podcast, Q.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that is a wrap. Thanks again to Global MDI for sponsoring this episode of Medtronic Talks. Thank you to Q Dallar for joining us and for updating us on the progress made by Medtronic's Diabetes Unit. And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for returning to the Medtronic Talks podcast. Please do subscribe to the Medtronic Talks podcast on any major podcast application. It has its own podcast channel. You can also find other Device Talks podcasts on the Device Talks podcast network. And of course, you can find all episodes of our podcast at devicetalks.com, and you can find episodes of Medtronic Talks at medtronic.com. Make sure you share this episode on social media. And when you do, please connect with Medtronic and with Device Talks and myself I am Tom Salemi, S-A-L-E-M-I. You can find me on LinkedIn. I would love to connect with you there. That's a wrap. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Medtronic Talks podcast.